to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 5. Book of Genesis, chapter 5. To read verses 21 through verse 24. And Enoch lived 65 years, begat Methuselah. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And in that 300 years he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis chapter 5 is one of those chapters in the Bible that people read through hastily, if not skip altogether, because it is, for the most part, a genealogy chapter. It starts with Adam, ends with Noah, has a total of 11 generations in Genesis chapter 5. And as you read through Genesis chapter 5, you read name after name, and then you read the words, and he died. Verse 5, we read about Adam. And then we read, and he died. Verse 8, and he died. Verse 10, verse 11, and he died. Verse 14, and he died. Verse 17, and he died. You get the idea. Well, you see that all through Genesis chapter 5. That, of course, should serve as a reminder to each one of us. But there is one exception. As you read through the chapter, you come to Enoch, and we don't read those words, and he died. But instead, in verse 24, we read, and he was not, for God took him. And then those words are explained, if you keep a mark there and turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. What does it mean that Enoch was not, for God took him? Well, in verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation. So three times here in Hebrews 11 verse 5, we have reference to Enoch being translated. He had this testimony that he pleased God. So what does that mean? What does it mean that Enoch was translated? Well, it means that he was carried across. He was carried from this earth to another realm. It means that he changed from one place to another. Now that was done literally. Literally, God just took Enoch. There was no death. There was no funeral. It just one day, Enoch's gone. That was literally. Literally, Enoch was carried out of this world. It's a good picture of the rapture. That's a different message. But it was also done figuratively. There is a figurative lesson here. In the fact that Enoch walked with God, there was a sense in which Enoch was carried above the world. In other words, the world could not hold Enoch. He was translated. The world could not hold him. And that's what we want to speak upon this morning. The man that the world cannot hold. the man that the world cannot hold or cannot hold down. Now, there are six verses in the Bible that give us the biography of Enoch. The man lived 365 years. And all we have are six verses. Genesis 5, verses 21 through 24. We have Hebrews 11, verse 5, a verse that we just read. And we have Jude, verse 14. Those verses, six in total, give us the biography of Enoch. But in the verses of our text, we see that Enoch was the exception in Genesis chapter 5. He did not die. And Enoch lived an exceptional and an extraordinary life. So we want to look at this man that the world could not hold. Because it's the same type of individuals today that the world will not be able to hold. First of all, consider the times in which this man lived. Again, the times in which you and I live, no matter how wicked they might be, no matter how perilous they might be, no matter how difficult they might be, the times in which we live are never an excuse for not serving God. Because all through the Bible, we see individuals that lived in difficult and trying times. Yet they served God. So never, ever use the times in which we live as an excuse for coldness or backsliding. You cannot use that excuse. And we mention that because the days in which we live are very trying and are very difficult. And I think there is a tendency for God's people to think that somehow they are excused because, after all, it is a difficult time. But that doesn't excuse us at all. In fact, it only increases our responsibility. It only lays upon us more obligation. But Enoch, we see here, had worldly matters to attend to. We read in verse 22 that he begat, in verse 21, he had a son by the name of Methuselah. But then in verse 22, for the next 300 years, we read that he begat sons and daughters. That tells me he was a man who had a family. He had sons. He had daughters. That means he had family responsibilities. He had family burdens. He had family concerns. Anybody that has a family has responsibility. You have burdens and you have concerns. There's also trials. There are difficulties. There are troubles. But none of those things prevented Enoch from walking with God. None of those things could hold Enoch down. None of those things could keep Enoch from living an exceptional and an extraordinary life. And it's not our families that prevent us from living an exceptional life or an extraordinary life. No, you can't use that excuse. Enoch also lived in very, very sinful times. If you were to read Genesis chapter 4, you see that in Genesis chapter 4, lawlessness was beginning to come to the forefront. In other words, men were beginning to take the law into their own hands. And when you get over to Genesis chapter 6, the first five verses, you see the result of what began, well, really began in Genesis chapter 3. But as you read Genesis chapter 4, as you read the early verses of Genesis chapter 6, this is the time in which Enoch lived. And the emphasis of the time was not upon the worship of God. That was not the emphasis of the day. The emphasis of the day was not upon walking in a way that was pleasing to God. That wasn't the emphasis. Instead, the emphasis was upon the pleasures of life. It was a day of mockers. It was a day of despisers. It was a day when people took great delight in committing sin. It was a day when people spoke against the Word of God and were mocking the promises of God. These were the days of Noah. It was the days when truth was being ridiculed and the godly were being ridiculed. And since Enoch walked with God, you can be sure that Enoch was an object of ridicule throughout his life. But none of these things are an excuse. You see, it was a time when there were very few who loved God. It was a time when the majority of people, their sons and daughters, were being drawn aside by lost men. Their emphasis was upon the fashion and pleasures of the hour. It was a day of rampant compromise. It was simply a terribly wicked and degenerate society. Again, known in the New Testament as the days of Noah. But my point is, none of these things held Enoch down. None of these things kept Enoch from living an exceptional and an extraordinary life. And we too live in a time when today there is utter disdain. There is utter hostility toward God, toward the things of God. A time when there is a brazen openness about sin. When people are very boldly attempting to force their sinful lifestyles upon everyone else. When they are very boldly trying to force their ungodly and filthy and vile sins upon all of society. Those are the days in which we live. And it's a time when people are proud of wrong. It's a time when people are very proud of their sinful and ungodly ways. And they boast about it and they parade it out in open. It is a time when we are surrounded by filth. We are surrounded by defilement. We just were in Chicago this week, and I would say that at least 50% of the billboards along the expressway were filth. At least half. And we commented to each other, could you imagine having little children in the car? You'd have to put blinders on. I'm just driving down the expressway. We are surrounded by filth. We are surrounded by degradation. Things that just a few years ago were against the law are now out in the open on the highway. So we're surrounded by abomination. We're surrounded by blasphemy. We live in a world that is almost completely humanistic, filled with evolutional thinking, and people are being swallowed up by the world's twisted and perverted philosophies and fantasies and ideas. But none of these things should ever be an excuse to any one of us for not living an exceptional and an extraordinary life. We are to be the exception. In a world that has gone crazy, we are to be the exception. And we are to live exceptional lives. We are to live extraordinary lives. And Enoch was a man who did that. And as a result, the world could not hold Enoch. The world could not hold him down. So let's look at the life in which this man lived. We see his life is basically summed up in verse 22 and verse 24 when we read the phrase, "And Enoch walked with God." We see both verses, verse 22 and verse 24, begin with those words. Enoch walked with God. And he did so in spite of the times in which he lived. It was a very difficult and a very trying time, yet Enoch walked with God. May I say, this is not Enoch's testimony. This is not Enoch telling us that he walked with God. This is the Holy Spirit telling us that Enoch was a man who walked with God. This was a testimony. And he had this testimony, Hebrews 11 verse 5, that he pleased God. We never read about Enoch performing any miracles. We do not read, as we do of Moses, that he parted any seas, or that he raised anybody from the dead, or that he ever led an army. But his whole life is summed up in those words. He walked with God. Those words are a summary of his whole life. And as a result, he was a man who pleased God. He walked with God. What a memory. What a legacy to leave behind. There is a man who walked with God. That ought to be the memory that every one of us want to leave. That ought to be the legacy that we want to leave. He walked with God. Dad, mom, they walked with God. Grandma, grandpa, they walked with God. That is the memory that we ought to want to leave behind. There's only one way to leave that memory, and that's to do it. Many want to leave that memory. The problem is they don't want to walk with God. So if you want that kind of legacy, then you have to live that kind of life. So in the midst of family issues, Enoch walked with God. In the midst of in a world of filthiness, in a world of defilement and vileness, in a world of wickedness, in a world where ungodliness was running rampant and abomination and blasphemy and vulgarity and heresy was everywhere, here was a man who walked with God. Don't use the times in which you live as an excuse. All of his family responsibilities, all of his family cares, all the ungodliness that was going on all around him, none of these things had the power to keep him from walking with God. In fact, Enoch was a man whom the world could not hold down. Could not keep him from walking with God. All through the Word of God, the word walk is used to describe one's habitual way of life. This was his habitual way of life. A walk is an advance by steps. When you walk, you are advancing by steps. It's not by leaps and bounds, it's by steps. And Enoch walked with God. That tells me that Enoch advanced through life with God. There's no better way to live life than to advance step by step with God. To walk with God means that, first of all, he knew God. He knew God personally. He knew God by personal experience. It wasn't some secondhand knowledge that he had. It wasn't a knowledge of theory. But it was a knowledge as a result of experience. Enoch knew God. It was a knowledge based upon an association that he had with God. It was a knowledge based upon a contact that he had with God. It was a knowledge based upon kinship and friendship. But be sure of this, here was a man who knew God. He knew God. In the midst of all his family issues, he knew God. In the midst of all the ungodliness, he knew God. In the midst of all the burdens, and there were plenty of burdens, in the midst of all the heartaches, and amidst all the sorrows, and even in the joys, here was a man who knew God. In the midst of wicked and ungodly men, here was a man who knew God. No matter what happened, no matter what happened from day to day, here was a man who knew God. And when you can live your life knowing God, the world cannot hold you down. This world cannot hold an individual that knows God, an individual that lives their life knowing God. We're bombarded by foolishness. Every time you turn on the television, it just abounds with ignorance. And isn't it good to know God at such a time? And we walk through the world today, and it's just good to know the Lord. And here was a man who knew God. To walk with God means that God is real. You don't walk with that which is imaginary. He walked with God. That is, God was not merely an object of hope. Now it is true, God is our hope. Jesus Christ is our hope. But I sure hope today that he's not just merely an object of hope, but that he is a reality. God was not simply a topic of discussion to Enoch. To Enoch, God was real. He was a present reality. Everything about him was real to Enoch. He could see God. You walk with somebody, you can see them. And I believe Enoch could see God. The voice of God was very real to Enoch. He could hear God. The touch of God was very real to Enoch. He could feel God. God was a reality. I ask you today, can you see God? Can you hear God? Can you feel God? As you walk through your day, as you live in the midst of the times in which we live, can you see God? Can you hear Him? Can you feel Him? Is God real? His presence was real. His power was real. The love of God was real. The kindness of God was real. The mercy of God was real. The grace of God. All of these things were very, very real to him. And as a result, the world could not hold Enoch. Enoch left this world. Enoch lived above this world. And when God is a personal and present reality to us, the world loses its holding power. The reason the world has such holding power upon many who profess to be saved today is because they don't really know God like they ought to, and God isn't as real to them as He ought to be. Because I'm telling you, the world loses its holding power when God is real. Problem is, many times our troubles are very, very real. Our afflictions are very real. Our trials, our difficulties, our sorrows, our storms, our valleys, our obstacles, all the battles, they're very, very real. The problem is that many times they're more real than God. But if God is more real to us than all of these things, the world loses its holding power. When God is more real than your trouble, that trouble loses its holding power. When God is more real than your battle, that battle loses its controlling power. It loses its holding power. I ask you today, is God real? Is God real? We know He's real. But is God real to you? Do you live in the reality of Almighty God? Do you awake in the morning and feel God and see God and hear God? How real is He? Or is He just somebody you hear about on Sunday mornings and Sunday evenings? Somebody that you come and you go through the motions of worshiping. How real? How real is He? Enoch walked with God. That tells me that he had fellowship with God. There was a nearness to God. It means to me that he received from God and that he gave to God. There was a communing between him and God. There was a sharing that was going on between him and God. There was a friendship. God was his friend. In a world that was at enmity with God, Enoch had a friend in God. It also tells me that there was an identification with God. He walked with God. He was identified with God. He was not ashamed to be identified with God. We ought to walk with God. We ought to walk with God on the job. We ought to walk with God at school. We ought to walk with God through the neighborhood or wherever it is that we live. We ought not be ashamed of being identified with God. Amen. And being identified with everything that God represents. That is being against what God is against and being for what God is for. We ought not be ashamed of that. When you walk with somebody, you are identified. You are identified with them. Enoch was identified with God. And all who were around Enoch and all that saw Enoch and all that heard Enoch speak realized that this was a man who was identified with God. And that should be our desire today. His life was lived under the guidance, under the direction, and under the counsel of God. And all of this was in the midst of a wicked and evil society when wickedness and evil were so very, very prevalent. And Enoch walked with God. And you know what? The world couldn't hold him. The world lost its holding power upon Enoch. But I want you to notice it says that Enoch walked with God. Notice that the emphasis is Enoch walked with God, not God walked with Enoch. Now it's true, God walked with Enoch, but that's not the emphasis. The emphasis is that Enoch walked with God. The idea being is that Enoch was going in the direction of God. If I am walking with you, that means I'm going in the same direction with you. It's not that God was going in Enoch's direction. It was that Enoch was going in God's direction. You cannot walk the opposite way of God and say that you're walking with God. Enoch walked with God. He was going in God's direction at a time when the entire world seemed to be walking in the opposite direction. Enoch was walking with God. In other words, Enoch was walking against the flow of traffic in his day. And that's how it ought to be with you and I. It's very bad advice when people say, well, just go with the flow. Well, the problem is the flow is pretty bad. And if you're just going with the flow, you're probably going the wrong direction. Walking with God means that you're going to be walking in the opposite direction of other people. And if you're walking in the opposite direction of everybody else, people are going to notice. People are going to notice. And when a man or woman or a boy or girl is walking with God, people are going to notice. And people are going to say things. And they are going to make judgments. But we are to be walking in the direction of God. And when we walk in the direction of God, the world begins to lose its hold. I don't want the world to have a hold upon me. And I don't want to have a hold upon the world. And the way to avoid the world having a hold upon us is for you and I to just walk in the direction of God. And the longer we do that, and the more consistently that we do that, the less holding power this world has. How many times some people will say, oh, it's so hard. The world is just so strong. The world is so powerful. Just keep walking with God. You just keep walking with God. Walk with Him every day. Walk with Him every step of the way. And the world begins to lose its hold. The world begins to lose its power. But notice the duration of his walk. Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. He begat Methuselah at 65 years old. And after he begat Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years. At the age of 65, Enoch had a child by the name of Methuselah. His name meant, when he is gone, it shall come. Referring to the flood. When Methuselah dies, judgment is coming. Now Enoch understood that. He understood that God was going to pour his judgment upon this world. And that judgment would come when Methuselah died. Now, he didn't know when Methuselah was going to die, but he knew when Methuselah died, judgment was coming. And you imagine every time Methuselah got a sniffle, a little cold, a little sickness, oh, this could be it. This could be it. But my point is that Enoch lived in the understanding of what God had said. And the result was that he walked with God. People who understand will walk with God. People who understand what God is saying will walk with God. He did so for 300 years. He didn't just walk with God occasionally. Every now and then. But for 300 years. He didn't walk a little ways and then back off. But for 300 years, Enoch walked with God. And what was it that caused him to walk with God? It was what he understood from God. For 3,600 months, Enoch walked with God. That's a long time. For 15,600 weeks, he walked with God. 109,500 days, he walked with God. And I believe his walk was consistent. Now in 300 years, a lot is going to transpire. A lot is going to happen in 300 years. A lot of change is going to take place in 300 years. In 300 years, there were days when everything was calm, and he walked with God in those days. In 300 years' time span, there were days that weren't so calm, and he walked with God. There were days of trial. There were days of calamity. There were days of trouble. There were days when Enoch didn't feel like getting out of bed. There were days when Enoch didn't feel so hot. But Enoch walked with God. 300 years, in that time, there were times of adversity. There were times of problems. There were times of mourning. There were times of sadness. There were times of joy. But the point is, he walked with God. There were days of struggle. There were days of blessing. There were days of joy. But through it all, here was a man who walked with God. And I believe that is the life that you and I can live today. We can walk with God. It's not just that we can know a few things about him, that we can know enough where we can have a conversation with just about anybody and know what we're talking about when it comes to God. It's about walking with God. There's a big difference in knowing about God and knowing God. There's a big difference in being able to talk about God and walking with God. And here was a man who walked with God. That tells me his life was a life of priority. God was his priority. It also tells me that his life was a life of progress. Again, a walk is an advance by steps. His was a life of progress. But that he walked with God for 300 years tells me that his life was a life of persistence. I mean, you've got to persist. You've got to have some perseverance about you to walk for 300 years. Those words pretty much describe the character of his life. And the world couldn't hold him. The world lost its power upon Enoch. And that is our privilege today. That is our opportunity today. That is our obligation today. Today, right now, I can walk with God. I can walk in this building with God. I can walk out with God. I can walk with God throughout the day. That is my privilege. That is my opportunity. That is my obligation to walk with God. And if God gives us another day, tomorrow I'll be able to walk with God then. And then if God gives us Tuesday, we'll be able to walk with God on that day also. No matter what happens, doesn't matter. That should not hinder our walk with God. Walk with Him every single day. Every day, I can walk with the One who can still part the Red Seas. And I can walk with him right up to the Red Sea and witness him parting that Red Sea and walk across it. I can walk across it with him even if he doesn't part it. That's my privilege. That's your privilege today. To walk with God. We have the opportunity to walk with the one who still knows the way. I'm telling you, this world does not have a clue where they're going. But there is one who knows the way. And that is God, and you and I have the privilege of walking with the one who knows the way. I don't have to know where I'm going. I'm walking with the one who knows the way. What a privilege. What an opportunity. I can walk with the one who can still topple Goliath, can still defeat all the enemies of God. I can walk with the one who still reigns and rules over all the universe and still hears the cries and the prayers of his people. I can walk with the one who is still in control. And like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, I can walk in the furnace with God. And like Peter, I can walk on the storm-tossed waters with God. I can walk with God. And as long as I am walking with God, the world cannot hold me. The world cannot hold me down. The world loses its power over my life as long as I am walking with God. So you can walk with God today. Who are you walking with today? You say, I'm just walking by myself. No, you're not. You're walking with somebody. Guarantee it. You're going in some direction. Who are you walking with today? And then Enoch left this world. He walked with God all his life, or for 300 years, and he left this world the best way you can leave this world, and that is serving the Lord. He left this world walking with God. That's how I want to leave the world. I want to leave the world walking with God. I don't want to leave the world walking in the opposite direction of God. I want to leave the world walking with God. And then I can walk with him throughout eternity. But that is our privilege today. It is our opportunity. It is our obligation. It is our responsibility to walk with God. Who are you walking with today? What direction are you going? What direction are you heading? We can walk with God. What a wonderful, wonderful privilege that I have every single day of my life. I can walk with him. There's no better life. Why should I be envious of the world that's going in the opposite direction? Why should I even pay much attention as they're going in the opposite direction? Just keep on walking. Just keep on walking with God. No matter how difficult it is, no matter how steep it is, no matter how fierce the winds are blowing, no matter how fierce the storm, you just keep walking with God. Just keep walking with God. And because if you're doing that, you're going in the right direction. You may not know where you're going. You don't need to. But you're going in the right direction. Walk with him today. Brother Larry, if you